Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks to our man Brandon Adams for shifting his schedule around a little bit. He's generally on with us 8:05 on Wednesday and backing it up just a little bit. Man, it's that time of year where things are just so much fun. But to you, just how crazy was this past Saturday in the win over Missouri?
You know, it was kind of crazy a little bit, just, you know, given the fact that Georgia wins by 14 points. We talked about this yesterday, a stat that I wasn't aware of. It had been since 1992, I guess, that Georgia had won consecutive road games to start the season by two touchdowns or more. So from that standpoint, all is well. And yet, I think for me, something about that wasn't completely satisfying. And I think for a lot of fans as well, there were some questions that kind of loom. Part of that's based on the fact that, you know, Georgia didn't score an offensive touchdown in the first half. Part of that was based on we've come to expect Georgia kind of throwing that knockout punch in the third quarter and seeing another team wilt, and Missouri kind of absorbed that blow and sort of hung around there in the second half at least a little bit. So I think for some fans, the game was a little bit difficult to process. On its face, it was a convincing win, and yet at the same time, I think, you know, Kirby Smart probably has plenty to work on in practice this week.
I guess that's where expectations have gone too now, where there's an element of the fan base that was, you know, legitimately disappointed in Saturday, which is kind of funny that that's how things have gotten.
Well, the cloud that hangs over this conversation is that Georgia's competing with Alabama specifically right now. The rematch that we all are anticipating in December for the SEC championship, the fact that these two teams played the national championship and what was kind of a razor-thin margin of victory for Alabama there. And Georgia fans, I think, want to keep pace with Alabama, and I think that they're justified in feeling that way. And obviously, Alabama is just destroying people right now. Now, I'm also maybe a little bit more skeptical than some that can keep itself up over the course of a 12-game regular season and into the postseason. You know, frankly, college football is just not quite that easy to predict. But part of the thing of, oh, well, you only beat Missouri by 14 points in the road from the perspective of fans comes from the standpoint of Alabama the week before had gone on the road and beaten Ole Miss 62-7. That could very well be that Ole Miss is not as good as Missouri and not as good as the South Carolina team that Georgia kind of beat up on a couple of weeks before that. But I do believe that is kind of the cloud that hangs over that discussion a bit.
Talking with Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily.
Brandon, one thing with the Georgia performance against Missouri was, you know, you saw kind of something similar to what we've been seeing, you know, maybe a little bit of a slow start against South Carolina, for example. Georgia's offense didn't look as in sync as they did in the second half. And I think I made a couple of allusions to that on Twitter, being like, because everybody's panicking on Twitter in the first half. And you're like, hey, calm down. Georgia's proven to be a second half team. They come out, make adjustments. And then the offense looked much more crisp in the second half. Kirby has made a big deal about saying there are no halftime adjustments, blah, 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 but it just seems like that can't be the case because this team always comes out and looks better in the second half.
Yeah, you're right. And certainly offensively looked much better in the second half on Saturday. And I don't quite know what to make about what we would think of as struggles from the offense in the first half, because if I'm remembering the numbers correctly, and Sam, you may can correct me on this if I'm wrong, I think Fromm was like 3 of 9 in the first half, and that's going to happen. If you take a snapshot of anybody's performance, there's going to be a window of it where it might not look very good. The totality of the numbers, both for Saturday and for the season, for Jake Fromm look really good. But that brief window into his performance, maybe, you know, not the most positive reflection of Fromm there. And I think that may be part of the explanation there, is Fromm was just a little bit more accurate in the second half than he was in the first. And I guess overall, too, the thing that's going on with the Georgia offense right now, I think, and I haven't really had a chance to rewatch the game on television yet. At some time point, I'm hoping to get a chance to do that. But I think what I'm going to see is what maybe we've all seen here a little bit, is that interior of the Georgia offensive line, particularly at left guard there, a spot that I think is probably still a little unsettled. I think some of the reports we're getting from practice indicate that's probably true this week as well. I think that interior push from the offensive line just quite hasn't been right now what it was a year ago. And I think the entire offense suffers when that's the case. I mean, I think a lot of you know, just to be overly simplistic here for a moment, I think most college football offenses, even some of the spread stuff, I think it begins with trying to establish the ability to run up the middle. And if you can do that, then it opens up everything else that your offense could potentially have at its disposal. And right now, those big gaping holes that we want to see you know, from the Georgia offensive line up the middle, we're just not getting a lot of those right now.
Yeah, it's certainly one of those where, you know, when Thomas got hurt against South Carolina and Mays comes in and they don't have to shuffle anybody around, and now with Thomas struggling with the ankle, maybe he plays Saturday, maybe he doesn't. Now with Cleveland being out for at least the next several weeks, now do we, you know, I'd be curious to see, are we going to see the offensive line just, you know, are we going to see any shuffling? Or are we just going to see, you know, next man up at that position? I know that's what a lot of people are kind of curious about on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, and David, I'm a big believer that right now, just based on my observation, that Georgia's best five includes Cade Mays, I believe.
Yep.
Now, I'm not a former offensive lineman. I don't know how easy it is to go from playing left tackle 1 week to a right guard this week, which Mays may do in place of the injured Ben Cleveland. And then, you know, if Cleveland were to be back healthy, maybe Mays is sliding over to left guard. I won't pretend to be able to tell you how easy that is to do. Honestly, I think you may have to be an offensive lineman, or at least spoken to a lot of offensive linemen, to really speak expertly on that subject. But if we're going to play like fantasy football version of who do we think Georgia's best five is, I'm assuming that's a healthy Andrew Thomas, a healthy Ben Cleveland, and I think Cade Mays starting at left guard would probably be Georgia's best five right now. I think one of the things that, and I'm not telling you he's behind schedule because I think that'd be unfair to say, I think one of the things that may be a little disappointing to some is the fact that I believe that Jamari Salyer was kind of seen still, you know, kind of working. I think last week was some third team stuff. This week, because of some of the injuries, kind of moved up to a second team type guy. That's a guy that I sort of had penciled in as a freshman starter for Georgia, and because he was sort of a summer enrollee and, you know, experimented with a couple different positions, he may just not quite be ready to do that. But the fact that Salyer's not more ready to step in into a starting role is, I think it'd be wrong to characterize it as a disappointment, but whatever, like two levels below disappointment is, that may be the way that I feel about Salyer, because that's a guy that I had some hopes for being one of Georgia's best five. And by the end of the season, I think there's a really good chance that he is in that group, at least competing with Mays as that first freshman that goes into the game.
Joined by Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can hear Monday through Friday right here on The Ref, noon to 1.
And Brandon, on Monday's Dog Nation Daily, you opened with a monologue kind of being you know, a little annoyed or upset at the way that Georgia fans were reacting to the loss to Missouri. And I kind of thank you. They were making it feel almost like a loss, and that's what – to the point of where the reaction made it seem worse than, you know, the actual performance was. And I'm getting to the point where it's like, look, maybe we should start to give Missouri a little credit. They're a good football team, and nobody seemed ready to do that. Everybody just wanted to pile on Georgia.
Yeah, they certainly might end up being a pretty good football team. You're right about that, Sam. And I think that my issue with Georgia fans on the heels of the game, and I get to see a lot of fan reaction because of the kinds of shows that we do, you can watch those comments as they kind of stroll through during the show that we did on Saturday, and even some of the message board stuff at our forum and things of that nature, you can see a lot of that kind of stuff. And really, I think part of my biggest frustration, Sam, with the fans was the fact that it almost seemed like they were kind of quarantining themselves in two distinct groups. You had the one fan, you know, base that wants to say this game was a disaster and it proves that Georgia's not a true national championship contender. And you had another fan base or a segment of the fan base that wanted to say, no, this was a great win because it was by two touchdowns on the road against Missouri. And I think the honest truth is probably somewhere kind of in the middle of all of that, that, you know, it was a win that keeps everything alive for Georgia and everything out in front of it for the program. But also at the same time, it's the kind of game that gives Kirby Smart a lot to coach up and work on during practice this week. And I think this is probably an example where, you know, two things can be true at once. And for Georgia right now, I think both those things were, you know, kind of true. And what I liked about Kirby Smart's post-game comments is that he seemed more than capable of processing both those ideas. He seemed, you know, very capable of saying, hey, you know, it's good to win, and Missouri may be pretty good, but I wasn't happy with some of the composure our team showed. That's what Kirby said. Wasn't happy with some of the discipline, things of that nature. And I think if you're a fan, I do think you take some comfort in the fact that Kirby Smart is able to kind of see the entirety of the picture there.
All right, BA, before we let you go, did the 31.5 number surprise you? That the Dogs are favored that much?
David. It did, David. And I guess I don't quite know what I thought the point spread would be. I probably didn't put enough thought into it before it came out. But when somebody first told me, and it happened on Monday during the video portion of our show, someone had commented that the line was more than 30. I had not seen the line because, you know, Garantano had been hurt, so that was postponed in releasing it a bit, I believe. But when I did see it, it was much higher than I anticipated. And I guess here's the one thing I would caution people on. Now, I expect Georgia to get an easy win on Saturday, but here's the one thing I would caution people on. Go back and look at the length of Florida's drives on Saturday to score the points the Gators scored. These are three-play drives, four-play drives. Yeah. These are very short drives, all set up by Tennessee turnovers. Now, if Tennessee turns it over six times again, then Georgia may win by 60 points. But six turnovers, even for a bad team like Tennessee, would be a lot for one game. So let's maybe not be so quick to assume that Tennessee is as bad as it showed against Florida, because that may be, in a season of bad performances of the Vols, that may be the outlier as the absolute worst of them all. So I would be at least a little bit cautious of that. The Tennessee may not be quite as good, bad as it showed against Tennessee, and I certainly don't think Florida is as good as that final score would reflect for them. I think they've still got plenty of problems, and I don't think a lot of that changes just on the heels of getting a lot of gifts from Tennessee there in Neyland Stadium.
Great stuff, Brandon. Thank you for adjusting the schedule a little bit for us this morning. Always enjoy talking to you on Wednesdays, and we'll be looking forward to Dog Nation Daily here on the Ref this afternoon from noon to 1. Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, great stuff, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
That's Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.